In my heart there rings a melody. I have a song that Jesus gave me. Never was a sweeter melody. Tis the melody. Selections from the floor. We'll sing your number if it's not too tough, and if it's tough, you lead it. And if I don't know it, you lead it. But we'll sing these selections. But we like testimonies mixed in between. Now, if we get to about three songs and no testimony, we're going to hold off a little bit here and see what's missing. But okay, do you have a selection? 539.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His praise. In the mansions bright and blessed, He prepared for us a place. When we all think together, for the day of judgment will bring. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing.
Thank you.
victory.
Let's receive the evening offering.
Pastor says he doesn't think he needs to give announcements. Everybody was here this morning. And Hartzell and Mary, we'll fill them in later. Nice to see you folks. Standing on the Promises. I like that song. She was singing it, so that'll be my selection for right now. Let's sing a couple verses of that, shall we? Standing on the cold. Number is 553. I'm sorry. 553. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest heaven shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God.
Yeah, let's stand.
Okay, we can all stand up. You can testify. Rex.
I have a testimony. Just want to say how Christ is really good, how the Lord works in many ways. And one of them is when I was down in Mexico, Wally was telling me about a church down there that people were being saved from AIDS. He said, it's going to happen everywhere. I said, yes, it will. God only does it. Well, we got a letter from him. They send us a letter once a month, and then he writes a personal letter to us on the back. And he was telling us that a girl came, and she was going to...
She was diagnosed with AIDS. 1 week before she was going to get married.
Yeah. She came in, and they prayed, and they prayed. She was healed.
Six months ago. She was back.
Only got one hearing aid, that's not working very good.
I have found a deep peace that I never had known, and the joy that's worth
Testimony. Turn to number 214, 241, 241. Oh, say, but I'm glad. There's a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. I'm glad. Sing it as unto Him.
There is a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away. Oh, say that I'm glad. Oh, say that I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say that I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say that I'm glad. Wonderful, marvelous love.
Sing that in the choir, and the last line we sang, oh, say, but I'm glad.
I have a little girl here that said to me, Mom, they can't see my hand because we're all standing.
Well, we're not going to sit out, but
you. Tell you what you want.
Let's hear it.
Nine?
Oh, that's for Dad, I know. That's for Dad, I know what that song's for. That's okay. Dad's got pretty good taste. I'm the guy that monkeys up the timing on this song. I told you that before. I sang it too many times with a solo. But that's all right. She does a pretty good job on the timing. I'll go along. Oh, Lord, my God.
Thank you.
Stand by and let me sing the next verse, will you? Okay. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, everybody, then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul. Next one, and when I think that God his Son must spare, send him to die, I scarce can take it, that on the cross my burden gladly buried, he has been accomplished. We thank you for those healings. We thank you for the leading of the Spirit, for the touch of the Almighty God on our hearts and lives. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We worship you. We love you. We adore you. How great thou art. How great thou art. Thank you, Lord. Is there one more testimony or one more short song?
101.
That's good. Seated. Notice that last verse. One of the great promises of the Bible. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened.
We should. It is very important to realize that the weapons are something that you can get a hold of. They are something that you can become skilled at in using. And you can be confident in handling these weapons. Number two, using the right weapon at the right time is important. Once you learn what these weapons are, it is very important that you use the right weapon at the right time. Using the wrong weapon at the wrong time could lead to disaster. If somebody is shooting a cannon at you, you don't stand there with a dagger. You're going to get blown out of the water. But if you are close to your opponent and he comes at you with a sword, don't fire a cannon. He's not going to come and stick his head in front of the cannon and let you blow it off. You see, it's a matter of weapons. It's the same way in the spiritual. You have to use the right weapon at the right time. If somebody is coming at you with a dagger, you don't light up the cannon. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's exactly as ridiculous as it is in spiritual warfare, because some people are using the wrong weapons. It's important to use the right weapons at the right time. Number three, what are these weapons? Tonight is simply an introduction. I am not going into these weapons in great detail. Few of these I will expound on just a little bit, but mainly we want to become aware of them. The first weapon is the weapon you could all guess, the weapon of prayer. The second one is resisting. Resisting or authority. Resisting or authority. I'm planning a neat way in how to present that particular weapon. The third one is rejoicing or praise. Rejoicing or praise. Rejoicing is faith in action. One day, Paul and Silas found themselves in prison. When they got in that prison, I'm sure that they prayed. But at midnight, the Bible says they sang praises to God. The first duet that's recorded for us in Scripture begins to sing, and they sing so effectively that they bring the house down, literally. Because as they praised God, God sent an earthquake. And it's a strange earthquake that remembers to undo leg shackles and set the prisoners free. Rejoicing is faith in action. You can't rejoice and worry. You can't rejoice and be discouraged. You can't rejoice and have some of these other negative feelings and emotions. The fourth weapon is love. The weapon of love never fails. We are commanded by Jesus to love our enemies. And the last weapon is meditation. Meditation is preparing ahead of time. The scripture says that the person who meditates, everything he does shall prosper. And when he uses meditation, he will have good success. Number four, we tend to fight with the wrong weapons. We tend to fight with the wrong weapons. Armor is defense. We need that to protect us. Somebody would say, yeah, but you know, you mentioned Ephesians 6 there and you mentioned the pieces of the armor, but what about the sword? Isn't the sword an offensive weapon? But in the context of Ephesians 6, it's defensive. The sword is the Word of God. Satan tempted Jesus, and Jesus used the Word of God as a sword to resist the enemy. It was defensive there in quoting truth to Satan. You know what Satan has done? Satan has blinded the church to try to do ministry without the weapons. He has blinded the church. We go out there to do battle against the enemy in full battle array in our armor. We put on the armor of God and we're ready to do battle. But we're ignorant about the weapons. We're ignorant about what the weapons are and how we can use these weapons and how we can be on the offensive. I don't believe that God wants Christians to always live on the defensive. He wants us to be able to take the offensive and to press the issue. Prayer is a fantastic weapon. But this is the only weapon we tend to use, and we tend to use it as a piece of the armor. Or in other words, we tend to use prayer as defense most of the time. A problem arises, and what do? We go to fasting and prayer. We go to fasting and prayer as a reaction to a problem. When we hurt, we pray the best. And we have so much time spent in being defensive in our prayers that very few people have any energy left for offense to get the world won. We pray for the sick, we pray for our problems, and we pray for our needs. And that's good, and we need to do that. But Satan has us using the weapon only for that, and we use it many times very selfishly. James tells us we have not because we ask not, or we ask amiss. We use it, prayer is for wrong motives. We ask amiss. We should simply surrender these things to God. Lord, I need a healing. Tell him about it. Lord, I have needs. Tell him about it. And go on. Don't keep dwelling on those things. And start praying offensively. We use one weapon and we misuse it most of the time. Now, when do you use which weapon? When problems come, what do we use? I know what we have been using. Prayer. But would it surprise you if I told you tonight that that's the wrong one? Or at least it's not the main one, the only one. When problems come, we go to prayer. But you know what you're supposed to be doing? Rejoicing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When we rejoice and give thanks to God in all situations, that's when the world notices. That's when our life has an impact upon. You know what? The world prays when they have needs. The world prays when they have trouble and a crisis comes into their life. Sometimes that's the only time they'll pray. It's the only time they think about praying, but they'll pray then. You don't have to be a Christian to pray in bad times. You know what? And what do we use rejoicing for? When circumstances are good, we rejoice. You don't have to be a Christian to rejoice in good things. The world does that. The world rejoices when things are going well for them and when they are happy. We tend to go along with the world, but it's the opposite of what we should be doing. Jonah found himself disobeying the Lord and winding up in the belly of that whale. Jonah and the whale was first praying to God for deliverance. And then he quits pleading and he starts praising God. And you know what? It's when he praises God that God delivers him. Just like Paul and Silas, when they praised God, God delivered them. Praising brings deliverance. Thanking God, rejoicing, praising in spite of our circumstances is a powerful tool, a powerful weapon that not only brings deliverance but sets us on the offense. Rejoicing is faith in action. Rejoicing is faith in action. Resisting is authority in action. Resisting is authority in action. Prayer is dependence in action. Prayer is dependence in action. Love is forgiveness in action. Love is forgiveness in action. God doesn't have to tell us to love the people that are nice to us. We do that anyway. The world does that. But what does Jesus say? Love your enemy. See, this is completely opposite of the way we think, isn't it? It goes against the natural man. Jesus said, if you have an enemy, if you have a problem with him, you love him. Love your enemies. Use the weapon of love. You know what? These things are so hard. I know they are. These things are so hard. When people are your problem, what do you tend to do? You tend to resist them. You tend to stay away from them. You resist them. Wrong weapon. When people are your problem, love is the weapon. Love in connection with prayer. When circumstances are bad, don't meditate on them. You know, that's what a lot of people do when their circumstances are bad. They meditate on those bad circumstances, and instantly they're going to enter a depression. Learn to use the right weapons. The right weapons at the right time. Holland and Spain had these wars on the high seas in the Middle Ages. The Spanish had these huge ships with cannons on them. The Dutch, they're sitting out there with just these small boats. But at night, the Dutch would take out their rowboats and they would get right up to those Spanish ships. Right out to those Spanish ships, right where the Spaniards could not really even see them because they were under the place where the deck hung out. And from that position, they would take out these huge axes because the Dutch were excellent woodsmen. And they would take these axes and they would pound on the sides of those Spanish ships. And you know what the Spanish ships were doing? The Spanish ships were lighting up their cannons and they were shooting those cannon balls out in the water. Right over the Dutch rowboats. There's not a chance they're going to hit them. And the Dutch continue to swing their axes and the Spanish keep firing even though their boats are sinking. You see, the right weapon and distance for the weapon. And all of this is important. It's important in the Christian life as well. Using the right weapon at the right time is vitally important. Using the wrong weapon at the wrong time could lead to even destruction. Know what your weapons are. Know when to use them. Now, you might have a combination of these weapons. You might be using more than one at the same time. For example, we are to pray always. Prayer in conjunction with any of these weapons is a good idea. It's a good thing. And the last point this evening, number five, when we get our weapons right, there is nothing to stop us. When we get our weapons right, when we start using the right weapons at the right time, there is nothing that can stop us. These weapons are that powerful. They are that powerful. I guarantee that if you use these weapons, miracles will happen. Get a hold of these weapons. If you don't feel like picking up a weapon, do it anyway. You know, when circumstances are bad, you are probably not going to feel like picking up the weapon of rejoicing, but do it anyway. You begin to please God, and God will change your heart. When you get excited about using your weapons, then your life will be exciting. I can understand why some people don't think the Christian life is very exciting. I wouldn't think it was very exciting to stand out there with armor and be shell-shocked either. But we don't have to just stand there and take it. We can go on the offensive. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to control thoughts, even the wrong thought process of others. Victory is available for our lives as well when we use the right weapons in the right situations. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? The weapons are something that you can get a hold of. Using the right weapon at the right time is important. These weapons, there might be others. There probably are. These are some that I've discovered. Prayer, resisting, rejoicing or praise, love, and meditation. We tend to fight with the wrong weapons. Instead, we need to go to action with the right ones. Rejoicing is faith in action. Resisting is authority in action. Prayer is dependence in action. Love is forgiveness in action. Meditation is done ahead of time. And when we get our weapons right, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can stop us. These weapons can only be used as God gives us grace to do so. And so right now I would ask you to simply pray and ask God to give you the grace to be able to pick up the right weapon and to use it at the right time. Do that right now. Lord, would you give me the grace, the desire and power to use your weapons at the right time. And Lord, as I obey you in this area and pick up these weapons, would miracles happen? If you've offered that prayer tonight, could I see your hand just up and then down? Amen. Lord, you see these hands, and we thank you for their willingness to get involved in the battle, that we would be good soldiers in your army. Lord, help us to see sometimes how ridiculous it is, the weapons that we use, that we would put down those weapons and instead pick up the weapon that is appropriate for the situation. Give us the grace to be able to carry this out. Give us the wisdom in the weeks ahead to understand these weapons further and to use them as we should. Lord, I believe that, and I pray tonight, that each one that hears this would act responsibly with these weapons. Lord, that they would be mature enough to use them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder how many even know who our missionaries are. You know, that's one way we can pray offensively, by praying for our missionaries. How often do we do that? We pray for ourselves, we pray for our needs. But do we pray for the advancement of the gospel? We are to be spending more time praying for the advancement of the gospel, I believe, than we are for our own needs and desires. We have a great opportunity tonight to be able to pray offensively, and that is to pray for the young people who are going on this missions trip. And so that's what we want to do tonight. I'd like all the young people to come and stand up front here. All you that are going on the trip, And I'd like everybody else to gather around. Pastor Craig, you come. Let's gather around them tonight and let's pray offensively that God would use them and that people would be reached and souls would be won for the kingdom of God. That's what praying offensively is all about. Pray so that Satan's kingdom is damaged and God's kingdom is extended.